This is Rob Hogan, and you're listening to Radio Golf Show! Yes, for
welcome, ladies and gentlemen. From the very beginning, there were no boundaries here at Radio Golf Show as to the types of stories we talk about here in on the radio. And that's why we talk about the professional game. We talk about politics sometimes, cultural things, and everything in between. Our guardrails are unique. We're not a snobbish magazine. We are Radio Golf Show. And today is always, it's RotoFest 20. And RotoFest is for us the highlight of talking about the professional game because we have experts out the wazoo talking to us about what they think about the Masters. Tonight we have from Texas, Mr. Ogren is with us. Mr. Ogren, sir, how are you? Good to see you.
It's good to be back, Frank. I've been waiting, 6-7 months for one of these?
Yeah, it's a long stretch from the British, from the Open to the Masters, but we made it.
We did Ryder Cup.
We did the Ryder Cup. That was exciting. That's also something we'll probably talk about. We have from Iceland, from Reykjavik, Mr. Adi Olafsson. Adi, good to see you, Mr. Rock and Roll.
Always nice to see you guys.
We are here, and from not from Spain, from Holland, is this, or the Netherlands. We have the number one air fan in the world, Mr. Stuart Burley.
Evening, chaps.
There you go.
Glad to be back.
I can't believe it's RotoFest 20. That means we've been doing this for 5 years, and it is the 2026 Masters. We're going with the format. Six categories we have for you. We have the top five betting favorites. We have five former champs. We have five gentlemen from GB and I. We have five rookies, five hot Americans, golfers, that is, and five international cracks. In addition, everyone will pick two players, any is choosing that are not in the lists. Let's just get one thing out of the way, maybe the Ryder Cup. As Europe announced that we have Luke Donald back for a third time and Francesco Molinari, the most likely captain for the Americans rolled over his car once again. I guess he's out as a captain. David, do you have a short list of guys that might be stepping in there for the Americans in Northern Ireland?
No, I don't have a short list, although I did hear a name I hadn't heard before, and I liked it. If I remember it, I'll let you know.
Is it Stuart Sink?
No.
Okay. Justin Leonard?
I think so.
Oh, there we go. See, there we go.
And the criteria being, did you actually win a major? I guess Stewart did win the major, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He did. He won the Open.
To have an effective American captain, you really need somebody that can command the room. And I don't think Stewart has that command. I think Justin could get that command. I think Tiger's pretty much crushed his leg off as far as viability as a captain.
Yeah, so. It's unfortunate. And I was talking to a friend of mine. You know, obviously it's a sad situation for him that hopefully he gets out of. It's really something you know, he never really was that role model that, for example, Federer or Rafa Nadal were. And that's really unfortunate because I remember when Phil and him were the ones at the top. Phil always came across or was always portrayed in the media as the nice guy, and Tiger was always kind of the bad guy, and it kind of ended up the other way around, I guess. I don't know. Let's go. Let's do this. I'm talking way too much. RotoFest 20, we will start with the top five betting favorites, and they are, according to the Vegas Insider, Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, Bryson DeChambeau, John Rahm, and Ludvig Åberg. David, why don't you lead us off with your pick from that group?
Well, if I'm going to pick from that group, I'm going to pick Scottie Scheffler. Hmm. I mean, he's won, what, two of the last four or two of the last three, whatever it is, right? And here is why I'm going to go with Scheff. To defend is difficult for Rory.
Right.
You still don't quite know how well Bryson and John Rahm are playing, but by all indications, they're playing very well. And Ludvig has had this annoying habit of folding like a cheap lawn chair at the end of tournaments here lately. Mm-hmm. I don't know why it shouldn't happen, but, you know, he had one in hand and let it slip away. This week, same thing at Texas. He had the really good chance, let it slip away. So even though Scotty hasn't been in any kind of form, only because he hasn't been really playing because of another kid, I guess.
Right.
I think he'll be ready.
You had sent me, or you had sent us in the group, an interesting message about there were only two guys that won the week before the Masters and the Masters. I remember Phil doing it. The other one that I didn't remember was Sandy Lyle. Is it kind of like the par three contest jinx? Do they not want to win the week before?
No, I think primarily because most of the guys who win don't play the week before. It might have been Jack's last win. He actually played Atlanta the week before and he found something, even though he missed the cut, and then went on to win. I think that's the story. I was there when Sandy Lyle won in Atlanta in 88 and then won the next week. And I was there when Bernhard won the Masters and won the next week at Hilton Head. And what nobody knows about that is the greens at Augusta running 12, 13 on the stimp meter. We got to Harbortown the next week and they're running about eight. And so he won on two different kinds of surfaces. Anyway.
Yeah.
So the only reason why I brought it up is because I don't see on the list anywhere JJ Spaun.
No.
Right?
All right.
And so JJ's won two Texas Opens and a U.S. Open. And I'm telling you, this Texas Open golf course is hard.
Okay.
It's difficult. And he did a good job on it. So, you know, JJ's not on our list anywhere that I could see.
Which course is that? Is it in Austin?
TPC San Antonio.
Oh, okay.
It's a Norman PGA Tour design collaboration. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
All right. Mr. Olafson, what do you think from the top five betting favorites?
Yeah, I mean, most of the guys, like Scheffler, DeChambeau, John Rahm, I mean, they're mature enough. They've been playing that game for a long time. I mean, Ludvig is only like 26. So, there's a bit of difference there. I mean, Rory won last year. I mean, he's turning 40, and so most of the guys win now have an experience on that course, and I play that a bit often. But I'm actually going to go against all odds now, and I'm going to pick Ludvig just because I don't see anybody. I mean, Scotty's probably going to win it, but I'm just not going to pick him. I'm just going to pick Ludvig, one of the Scandinavian guys. Actually, it's interesting. There are like seven guys from Scandinavia playing the Masters, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be, you know, roaring for them this week.
Right. Yeah, it's a great pick, I think. you know, he's still a young kid, and I mean, it's his third Masters, but when you listen to interviews with him, he did one of the podcasts, I don't know if it was Fried Egg podcast or something like that. The way he talks just about everything is incredible. Stuart, nobody from Holland playing?
No.
There's nobody from Germany playing this year.
Sorry, what?
Nobody from Germany.
No, one guy from Austria. Sepp Straka.
He's not German, he's Austrian. It's like the U.S. and Mexico, Germany and Austria.
I think that's probably a little bit crazier than that, I think.
But if you think about it as well, I mean, sorry, but like the Spanish guys, there's no young Spanish player. There's John Rahm, is Ole Lasterbahn.
Yeah.
And Sergio García is 48, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, going back to what David said about Scotty Scheffler, I mean, I haven't really been paying that much attention for the last few months. The last couple of years, it's really kind of all been about the majors for me and not really the week-to-week tournaments. I think LIV had an effect on that for me, that I just kind of just lost interest a little bit. But I do talk about these things a lot with other people, and apparently, from what I hear, Scotty Scheffler has been struggling a little bit. But, yeah, I always think the Masters is the easiest one to bet on. You know, so I've won the most money betting on the Masters. And there's different categories to this. There's one, the course, does the player suit the course? And I think with Rory, in the back of his mind, Rory knows he should have won three of these already. The course suits him like no other course. Mm-hmm. I mean, he should have won three times already. So I think Rory stands a good chance to defend his title because it really is perfect for him, that course.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Scotty, yeah, I mean, it suits him as well, but you do have to be in a little bit of form, and I don't think he's in good enough form to do it, because any lack of form on Augusta, and it will show up.
But what type of player do you need fits this course the best? I mean, it's really with the first cut and second cut, they don't even call it rough. Yeah. Is it a second shot golf course?
It is, and the high towering iron shots. You know, on the par five, you can get a shorter iron in there and get to land softly on the green. I think Rory can do that. Scotty can too, of course. But back to Hilton as well. One of my players that I used to work with, he played four times in the Masters, missed a cut every time, and the only tournament he ever won was Hilton Head. I think in 2006 it was, Peter Lonnard. And he had some real problems with putting. And every time he came back from the Masters, it was the same story. He had no confidence on the greens. But obviously, he goes to Hilton Head next week, and coming from the Masters to Hilton Head, those greens seem really easy. You know, so yeah. But I think again, you know, I think Rory, he's a better putter than you realize. Obviously, he's missed a few crackers in his time, but I think he's got a chance. I'd say Rory.
There you go. Well, I'm going to make it interesting because, I wanted to take Ludwig, but then I kind of had the thought David had that a couple of times in a way he didn't pull it off. So I'm going to go with John Rahm on this because I think he has fire in his eyes. He wants to show them that he's still playing on LIV. He's been doing pretty well, I guess, and he's won there. So that would be my pick of the top five betting favorites. A guy that's really moved up in this category in the betting odds is Bryson. A lot of people think Bryson's going to win.
Yeah.
I
just don't like him. Sorry.
which brings us to, what are we going to do with Bryson? Does Bryson now become like everybody's pick and he just kind of goes on the side?
He goes on the side. He is out.
Yeah.
Unless somebody else joins us.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, you can always pick the same guy. We can, all five of us can pick Scotty if we wanted to. Let's move to the next category of former champs. Here we have Patrick Reed, Hideki, Sergio, Jordan Spieth, and Adam Scott. Let me continue in the snake draft format. Here too, I'm torn between two players. I would really love to see Jordan win it again. because he's just such an exciting player. But I have decided to go with our Japanese friend, Mr. Matsuyama. I think he's going to have a good tournament. That bowing caddy on the 18th. I have a T-shirt of it with that picture.
Oh yeah,
such a good feeling, and would really love to see him do well. I have no idea how Patrick Reed is playing, but we'll see about that. Oh, let's talk about quickly about Adam Scott. We'll talk about the long putter later, about the anchoring. Let's get back to you, Stuart, for this category, please.
Hideki's got a new putter as well. So that's something to look out for. That's what I've just read anyway, the last week. I dislike Bryson DeChambeau. I also dislike Patrick Reed.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, I do like to watch Patrick Reed. I think he's an exciting player to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like it when he's playing well. It's very pleasant to watch Patrick Reed playing golf when he's playing well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go with Patrick Reed.
Mm. Interesting. Very interesting. Yeah, I mean, that match he had with Rory in the Ryder Cup, I mean, I've watched that a number of times when they were holding it from everywhere. You know,
and he's done a lot of good things lately, yeah?
Yeah, he's really exciting. And, you know, those LIV guys, they're still playing. You know, and for them, I guess maybe this means a little more. Mr. Olofsson, which one of these former champs do you like? Please say, Becky.
I'm going for Sergio Garcia, and
oh my God.
The reason, yes, because this guy, next year is the Ryder Cup in Ireland. He lives for that. He wants to be there. He wants to show the world he can still play golf. He wants to fight himself into that team. He wants to fight himself into something. He is now. It's now or never for him. So, and I mean, we know how much fun it is to watch Sergio Garcia at Ryder Cup. That's something, you know, completely different. He is like, he has a little bit of the Seve vibe within him. So I really wish him well in this tournament. I want to see him back, and I wish he would go back from Liv to the real tour.
Yeah.
And I mean, I saw that guy when he was 13 or 14. I can't remember. I was in Belgium. I was national coach at that time. And this guy come down the stairs, and I said, God, these Spanish guys, they dress up the caddies. Then I thought, there's no caddies allowed. So I asked this little kid, what are you doing here? He said, yeah, I'm playing. So that was Sergio Garcia. So I'm on the first tee, and there was 300 meters long hole, and he stood there, this little tiny guy, and hit a driver about 50 meters left of the green pin high.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was unbelievable. Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, I hope he'll do well.
There you go. That would be a nice story, too. I mean, the Ryder Cup, I mean, again, we're talking about the Ryder Cup, but it's when you look at the players, especially on the European team, and you look at the Højgaards and Ludvig and Marco Penge, maybe, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of guys in their 20s that are really making some noise.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be exciting to see a 40-something in Sergio on that team. Mr. Ogren, before you pick a former champ, I saw an interesting stat today that yesterday on the range at the Masters, they counted who hit the most shots on the range. The guy that hit the most shots was this South African kid, Pat Geeter, who hit like, I don't know, 259 shots. And the guy who hit the second most shots on the range yesterday was Jose Maria Olazabal. How many shots did you hit on the range on a Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday when you were playing?
I hit as many as I could.
Really?
Well, you know, I don't know how many Masters I was going to get to play, so I wanted to make sure I enjoyed the experience. So Jose Maria is probably towards the end of his career, so he's going to enjoy every minute of it. When I was there, it was pretty much normal routine, except you're drinking everything in, you're looking at everything and trying to enjoy it all.
Yeah. I was just amazed that from all the, Potgieter is like 20 or something like that. And then you have Jose Maria with 252 shots or something like that.
Yeah, see, Potgieter is one of these interesting players because if you didn't look, what would you think would be his weakness? And everybody would say the same thing. Well, he must not putt very good. But you look at the putting stats and he's above the curve. So he's a very interesting player to watch in the upcoming years as he gets some experience and some savvy to him.
Yeah, I remember when we had our Swedish friend Albert Hansen on. He always used to pick him in the Rotofest. I remember at the very beginning, big hitter from South Africa, and I think he's going to do well. Of these former champions, which one do you like, David? Reed, Matsuyama, Garcia, Spieth, or Adam Scott?
Well, if it's an open pick and you had to
Open.
pick the winner of the bunch, my last place pick is going to be Jordan Spieth. I actually think his game is trash right now. And then I don't know how Sergio has been playing. I just know that he's still butthurt over the Ryder Cup. Adam Scott, yeah, he has the putting issues and he's getting older. Then there'd become Hideki, who's been playing okay. And by far of those five guys, the guy who's been playing the best is the guy we don't like the most. That's Patrick Reed. So I'm going to take Patrick Reed, even though I don't like him as I don't think he stands for what I kind of stood for, and the way he left the tour was kind of, bitter.
Well,
So I'm going to take Patrick Reed.
Sergio left in a similar way. I mean,
Yeah, he did, yeah.
so
I expected it from Sergio.
but Sergio is still in the game. I mean, he's still there, and I think maybe some of these guys will come back with the Saudi money running short these last 4 weeks. We'll see what happens here. Very good. But we have already Rahm and two Reeds and a Sergio, 4 out of 8 picks from the LIV Tour. Hello. So here we go. We move on to GB and I. We have a category of Matt Fitzpatrick, Tommy Fleetwood, Justin Rose, Robert McIntyre, and Jane Lowry. Oh, lots of good players. We'll come around straight back to you, David, if you will, please.
Just like my president, I want them all. I want them all. None of you can have any of them. They're mine. And if you don't like it, I'm going to come bomb Iceland. I'm going to come to Holland and I'm going to blow up a dam. Oh, that's easily the best five players on the sheet. Not even close. Every one of them is playing good. And love Matt Fitzpatrick. Just think the world of Tommy, Justin. Even though isn't he the same age as Adam? Aren't they about the same?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and Jane is fantastic. You can't get a nicer guy. But if I'm going to pick one of the five, I'm going to go with Bobby Mack. I love Robert McIntyre.
Wow.
I think he's fabulous. And you can see right, just looking at those five guys, like, man, that's a core that America's just not going to beat anytime soon.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. How do you think Justin's going to deal with the disappointment from last year? I mean, I think he was second before, right? Wasn't he?
Justin Rose might be the most resilient guy in the game.
Yeah.
I mean,
Agreed.
he's. I know David Orr enough, and David traveled with Justin a year, year and a half, or whatever it was. And Justin, when it comes to golf, is a hard man. He is just all business and very resilient,
Yeah.
and he's not going to take any shit off of anybody else, including himself. And man, he's just fabulous. I love that those five guys.
Yeah.
I'll
And
tell you.
what a stalwart he's become in the Ryder Cup for the Europeans. He's become a leader of that team along with Rory, firing them up and playing really well. So yeah, I'm a big fan of Justin.
Yeah, and McIntyre and Fleetwood this year both have that added incentive. Let's get that major added to our resume. Right? Tommy, now that he's broken through in the United States, needs to add a major to his resume. And I think it's inevitable for Robert McIntyre. Inevitable.
Yep. There we go. Mr. Olafsson.
Yeah, this is of course some of my favorite players all there. All radical players, all great characters, great
all
players.
Europeans.
All Europeans. So and I think Justin is always in the business. He's always preparing. If you listen to him, he's only talking about preparing. Yeah, I'm doing this. I'm going to look at the greens. Is there a new, maybe new pin position on the 14th? I'm going to. So he's always in there. He breathes that. So, but I mean, his problem is he sometimes get off the swing. And in Augusta, if you start, you know, losing the swing, you start missing the ball just a little bit, it can be really costly.
Yeah.
So I think a guy who it's a wish as well. I wish that Tommy Fleetwood will be up there and play for the win. And I really think he can win. So he is going to be my pick this time. But all these guys, I mean, they can win. Only guy that I don't think they have the game for that or the ball flight is Mats Phipps, I think. But he has the short game. Yeah, he hits it a little bit low.
That's interesting. Maybe you can comment because I think he's the only guy that chips cross-handed, and you guys, PGA professionals, why does it only work for him, or why don't more people do it?
It doesn't really, really matter if you study that. I mean, it's not where the hands are; it's how the body is moving. What are you doing with that? You learn in chipping that you're not using the hands anyway, so. Whether the left hand is below or whatever, you change a little bit the position of the shoulders. But apart from that, if you try it yourself, you will, after 10 shots, have you tried Stuart?
No, but Joost Luiten in Holland, he does it as well. But
yeah.
It all comes out of negativity. He's lost his confidence. I don't think Fitzpatrick does it because he has a loss of confidence. I think he's extremely confident doing it. But no, I've never tried it.
But that's the thing. I mean, it's like putting. If you look at all the guys, whatever their hands are, they're not putting with their hands.
No.
They're putting. So in the technique itself, it doesn't really matter. But the funny thing about this Patrick is that he does it. And as I say, if he's 29 yards away, 29.8, he chips with the left hand low. And if he's 30 meters, 0.5, he chips with the right hand. So this has nothing to do actually with the hand. It has something to do with, you know, his confidence of moving the body a little bit more consistently, probably.
David, we're talking about Fitzpatrick's chipping cross-handed. What do you make of that? Why don't more people do that?
Well, it's embarrassing. And when you get to be as good as Matthew Fitzpatrick, being embarrassed is not a factor. It's less, can you save yourself a shot? Because a shot's going to be worth $50,000, $75,000,
$85,000. Yeah.
Right on a Sunday. I can chip really good cross-handed. I can. My chipping is really good cross-handed. And I've never used it in an event because
it's embarrassing.
I putted cross-handed. When I won putting cross-handed. So, you know, it just, I think it's a non-factor. Shoot, one of the drive chip and putt guys, 15-year-old kid was cross-handed.
That's right,
right?
Amazing.
Right. So, yeah.
That's right. Interesting.
I think the main factor for Fitzpatrick is that his ball flight is. Doesn't really see. I mean, he can. I don't think that shoots the Augusta. I think you need to hit a little bit higher. His ball flight is a little bit under average. So he will do well because his short game is very good. But he just, and he's, yeah. It's not the longest, so yeah.
Yeah,
I really believe Tommy would, if I were to put money on one of them, I would put on Tommy.
but Tommy, but I mean, he's definitely got momentum. He's been playing really, really well. Mr. Burley.
Yeah, I think the best short game of all five of those is Shane Lowry. I mean, I've followed him around a couple of times and I've watched him chipping. I mean, that guy has the best hands I've ever seen in my life. But yeah, I mean, looking at it, I think, like I said, about picking people whose game suits that course, I think the best one is Justin Rose. His game suits that course. Again, long hitter, great ball flight control, can hit those towering long irons. I think that's why he always does well there as well. I just think mentally, he's never really sealed the deal. He's led after, how many times has he led after two rounds? And again, came close last year, but yeah, it's he should have won one already as well. But I think Justin Rose. I don't think Tommy's got the ball flight to suit Augusta.
Okay, interesting. And again, just like in the first category, I'm going to pick Fitzpatrick, even though I don't like him very much. But I think the momentum that he's got going is worth a lot. Would the Masters be trying to win your first major? Would the Masters be one of the more difficult places to do it than, let's say, PGA or or an Open or a US Open?
I think it depends, doesn't it?
Yeah, it
It
depends.
depends on the player.
Okay. So the local knowledge, I mean, have they done any major changes to the golf course this year? I read something about one of the tees being moved back, but I can't remember which one it
That
was.
was on the 17th. It's only 10 meters. It's just
Yeah, nothing. Yeah,
right.
nothing.
They did have to rebuild number 11 because they and the back end of number see, no number 12 and the back end of number 11 because they got wiped out in a
Like that, yeah.
spring or a flood last fall. So I think they just rebuilt it back to spec, so you're not going to be able to see it. However, if the grass is brand new, it might affect a little bit. Like if we're watching number 12 this week and the surface looks slow when they putt, it would be because the grass is brand new.
Right. Is 11 the most difficult hole on the golf course, David?
No.
No. What's the most
Yeah.
difficult golf? Oh,
First tee shot.
the first
Yeah.
tee shot.
Hole
Yeah.
five.
The first tee shot. No, it's like, it's not how good you are, it's how good you are when you have a 10-inch turd hanging out your butt and you're trying to hit one.
Yeah.
That's what the first tee shot's like. No, hardest hole in the golf course, I think, is probably number five. Four or five combinations really hard because it's a long par three and a long par four. Where they have the tee now on number five, I could hit a drive out there, then you'd have to get on my shoulders, and Adi'd have to get on your shoulders to see the green.
Wow.
That's where they drive it now. And then number 10 is always considered to be a difficult hole because that's one of the few tee shots you actually do have to curve.
Right.
You actually have to curve that tee shot. That one in 13, you have to curve.
Yeah.
And when you start curving it right to left, pros can hit some pretty wicked curves right to left.
Yeah. Mr. Burley
Yeah.
trying to get me to hook the ball. Remember?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No chance.
Work in progress.
No chance. I did my best. All right, so we got four different picks. We got Bobby Mack for David, Tommy for Adi, and Justin for Stewart, and I'll take Matt Fitzpatrick. The rookies. A lot of good rookies this year, I think. This guy, Jacob Bridgman, is in this group. Ben Griffin, Marco Penge, Sammy Valimaki, and Harry Hall is a rookie as well at the Masters. I'll come around. Again, you can pick anybody you want, whether they've been picked already or not. And I got a feeling about Sammy. I like this Sammy guy. I
Been around
really,
a while, huh?
really like this Sammy guy.
Yeah.
He won on the PGA Tour, not one of the bigger events, but I just love his attitude, and wouldn't that be something to see a guy from Finland up there making some noise? I like that guy, Marco Penge, but I think too much pressure on him. So I'm going to go with Sammy, and I can't wait for David to talk about Bridgman because we don't really see him here, over here. Stuart, who is your rookie of the bunch?
Well, to be honest, I don't really know many of them. I know Harry Hall and Marco Penge. Sam Ballymackie's been around a while. But yeah, I quite like Marco Penge, to be honest. He came on the radar for me last year at the Scottish Open. I quite liked him. He's made a bold move going to America as well. So I'm gonna go Marco Penge.
Yeah, do you see a big future for him? I mean, he's an attractive, tall guy that
hits it a mile, huh?
What?
He hits it further than Rory.
Yeah, I think so.
That's quite crazy. That's quite something.
But I think he went to the States, you're right, which was a big move, but I think he also switched to the PXG clubs. And I remember when Justin switched to, I don't know who he switched to. He switched to Honma or something like that a while back.
I don't really see that being a problem. I mean, I think PXG, I think there's a lot of nonsense talked about PXG. They're good clubs. There's nothing wrong with PXG.
No, I didn't mean to say that, but
but you mean just for a club change?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think so. I think these guys are all pretty clued up on what they need.
Yeah, all right.
They get access to things that we don't even know about.
Yeah, is it? I mean, the discussion, would they play? You know, if they didn't get paid to play any clubs, which clubs would they pick?
Mizuno,
Mizuno.
Yeah, Mizuno.
That's a conversation I always have with Sam Hahn of Lab Golf, because they don't pay their players to use the Lab putter.
Yeah,
he told us on one of the podcasts here when Adam Scott had a good year, they don't pay him to use the putter, but he had a really good year, and as a Christmas bonus, they sent him $50,000.
Okay.
That's how they operate as a company. They don't pay their players. I found that fascinating.
But they must have given Sporn quite a lot more than that.
Yeah, not like Adam needs the $50,000, but I think it's pretty progressive for a way a company could operate.
Yeah.
Adi, you're a rookie.
Yeah.
Sami.
Yeah, of course. I mean, if you just say his name and Sami Valli Ma.
I couldn't find the umlaut. I know there's some umlauts in there, but I couldn't find them on my keyboard.
Valli Ma.
When did you first notice him?
I mean, this guy has done quite a lot of things. I mean, you remember when we were in Germany? Actually, he was around there. He's been playing, and he's a good player. But because they have some players from Finland, and I always follow most of them, but I can't pronounce the names. They've been good. They've been some good players coming. A lot of Finnish players have been winning tournaments on the Challenge Tour, and some of the and a lot of actually on that size of the country, like Finland is, a lot of players on the European Tour as well. So yeah.
You guys got some guys on the Challenge Tour, right?
Yes, we got some players on the Challenge Tour, but at the moment we actually got finally the government stepped into. In the sport and they are now actually paying 5 players just a salary to be golfers.
Mm-hmm.
Our 5 best players, so 2 girls and 3 guys, so just now finally doesn't have to worry about income because we are an island, so either you have to be abroad or you have a travel cost for just like whatever if you want to live here.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit of a help for them, but we have one guy that everybody's waiting for. He's in the LSU. He's ranked number 20 in the world ranking as an amateur. He's been doing quite well. So hopefully he's gonna try to qualify for some of the pro tournaments this year. But for a player, we have never had anyone that good as an amateur.
Mm.
So that guy from my golf club is really doing well now.
What's his name? The guy from LSU?
Gunnlaugr.
My God, it's like that.
yeah, don't try and bring it in. But he's at the moment our biggest hope for that because
following him. David, yeah. We're going to need a rookie from these guys, and I got a feeling you're going American.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know much about Jacob Bridgman, but you know, just looking at he's from Clemson, he's been playing great, and he gets mentioned in the nicest guy on the PGA Tour.
Wow,
right. good for him, right?
Yeah.
So what we have left after that is we've got sunglasses, two cool names, and a hat. And I'm debating between sunglasses and cap.
Oh.
And I'm going to stick with sunglasses.
You're going to go with Ben Griffin.
Yeah, although I really give Harry Hall major points for his cap.
Yeah.
I mean, that is top-notch stuff.
He walked around like, who was that guy? That
well, I mean, I called him last year Timu Tommy Weisskopf.
That's great and awful all at the same time.
Oh my God. Yeah. That is, who was the guy that always walked around like a schlub on the tour? It wasn't Justin Leonard. It was the guy, I can't think of his name. He's wearing these Gap khakis and untucked shirt. I don't remember. I'll think of his name.
Sounds like Craig Stadler, but that's
No, not Craig Stadler. Skinny guy. It's not Justin Leonard, obviously, but he looks like Justin Leonard. I'll think of it. All right. So we got Griffin, two Sammies, and a Marco. Now we're getting to two more interesting categories. Number one, the hot Americans, and they are Cameron Young, Colin Morikawa, Brooks Koepka, Akshay Bhatia, and Chris Gauthier. David.
Okay, this is easily the second best fivesome on the sheet.
Definitely, yeah.
All right, so just like the GB and I's, you guys go away. I want them all. I really think Brooks is poised to put it all together and play a good major championship. Obviously, we saw what Cameron Young did at the Players' Championship, and that was fantastic. And Akshay is probably the most fearless American golfer right now playing.
And a lefty.
Colin is Colin, right? And who do we leave off that should be on the list? Shoffley?
Yeah, Xander.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's not on the list.
I'm going to go with
Chris Gauthier.
You're going to go with Chris
Gauthier? I think he's got the firepower to play Augusta.
Wow. There you go. Didn't expect that. Didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
Adi, you have to pick an American now. Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. But the funny thing is, I mean, I'm going for Chris as well. I mean, this guy is something else. And didn't he win the Scottish Open?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Where did he come from? I mean, where do these guys come from?
Yeah, and then his name got the rip. I think that kind of character can come up there and just he seems to have no problem winning tournaments. So that's the main thing. If you have to be able to win tournaments to be up there, and he's there. So yeah, he's coming.
Other Bernie, you going Gauthier up too?
No, I'm going to go for Akshay Bhatia.
Oh,
obviously he's got history with Augusta. And I think it would be nice to see at the end of the week a little bit controversy with the whole putter thing, you know, with the anchoring.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been quite an interesting debate.
Let's have a little talk about the anchoring.
What do you think about it, David, with Akshay Bhatia?
If the putter is more than a driver's length, so a putter that's 46 inches, if you took your driver and stood it up, that would like rest right in front of your chest.
Yeah.
If your putter is longer than that and you're holding it up high.
Yeah.
If you're holding it way high, it's got to be touching.
Okay.
I don't know if touching is anchoring. Neither do the rules officials.
Well,
I happen to think, unfortunately, that the guys who do that are all cheating.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Because they haven't been called on it by rules officials and the powers that be, you can't call them cheaters, but Bernhard has extended his playing life a long time now. And I don't see him not anchoring.
No.
Right. And I think Adam's a little bit that way and Akshay's a little bit that way. You know, and if it's not intentional, then it's not anchoring. And it's different than what, say, Lucas Glover does. Because he puts it right out in front of him and holds it down, right? You could see the separation.
Yeah.
Right? So I do think that the guys that have the longer ones, longer than 45, 46 inches, the only way you can even hang on to that thing is you got to anchor it. And, again, I'm not calling them cheaters because if they were cheaters, they would have been penalized by now and run out of the game. But I think long time ago in a galaxy far away, this is one where the USGA blew it.
Yeah.
They should have left it alone in the first place.
I think the thing about, you know, the rules are totally made for not giving anyone an unfair advantage. That's what they're designed for. And I think when you look at the degrees of freedom, yeah, when you look at a normal putting stroke, you know, with a standard putter, there's 6 degrees of freedom. And when you have an anchored putter, you have 3 degrees of freedom. And if it's not anchored, then there's more degrees of freedom. So you're creating a kind of a technique that has an unfair advantage over everyone else. And I think that's the whole thing about blowing it with the rules.
Yeah, it's definitely I do believe it's an advantage to anchor.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not ready to say unfair because if everybody can do it, it's your choice.
True. Yeah, true.
Mm-hmm. There is just another point, actually. If you remember when Sam Torrance started using that putter, it was not because that he couldn't putt with a small putter. It was because his back was hurting after like 30 minutes on the pedigree. Yeah. So there's another advantage that using that long putter is you can stand there, you can putt much longer, you can practice longer. Sure. So in my opinion is they should actually have a standard length, which is smaller, and you have to live with that. And the putter should not be a driver's length, in my opinion.
No, that's right.
But isn't it true that most of these guys, at least, and maybe not, well, Bernhard probably, but a lot of guys that I played with in the 80s and 90s, good scratch golfers who went to the broomstick when it came out, is because they really, really couldn't putt with the short. I mean, they got enough problems with the short putter.
Yeah.
So I thought it was, it was like their last chance to play the game the way they wanted to play it.
Yeah.
But is restricting the length to, I don't know what, 35, 36, whatever. I mean, Brother Burley knows that I'm a 32-inch guy without even knowing me. Is limiting the length of the club the answer to that?
Well, Jack Nicklaus said it should be the shortest club in the bag.
Mm.
And I kind of agree with that. I think, yeah, you should take a stance somewhere. And I'm quite extreme. I think you should go shortest club in the bag.
Did any of you guys ever experiment with the broomstick? I mean,
I've got one. I play an Amadeus. Yeah, it's great. I actually like doing the San Felice stroke with it. You know,
I'm better with it, or I feel like I'm better with it because I don't have the six ways to yip. I only have three ways to yip.
Yeah,
but that's the same thing I was telling earlier about this chipping thing with the left hand blow, whatever.
Yeah,
I mean, if you look at Ben Adlang, if you look at all those guys, if they're not trying to putt with their hands, they use the body to, they use the big muscle to move the arms that moves the club. So the advance, I think it's they will find some grip, they will find some way to putt with a shorter putter, but the But if you have a longer putter, you can stand there forever and ever. You don't get tired. And it's actually this thing about holding almost here, you know, and everybody sees that it touches the shirt, but the judges say, okay, you don't touch your body. I mean, this is all bullshit for me.
Well, let's see what happens. That will be a story on Sunday night. If
I'm still going to go with it. I'm still going to go with Batia.
I know. Bryson's also... walking around with one of those things. I'm going to go with Mr. Koepka because I don't know. Because he kind of stands out for me from the other guys. And then just like Rambo, I think he still wants to show the world that he's still got some games.
Yeah.
He paid his price back on the PGA Tour. Definitely also wants to be back on the Ryder Cup, I'm sure. So that's my pick. And I'm moving straight into the international cracks. Here we got another good group of players. Victor Hovland, Tyrrell Hatton, Sepp Straka, Minwoo Lee, just in case Ted showed up tonight, and Siwoo Kim. But Ted is at some boys tournament in England or Scotland. Well, I don't know where he is. I will go with the Straka because I think he's a big-time player. Everybody said Wiesberger will be the first guy, Austrian guy, to win a major. No, I think it's going to be this guy. I think he's got a chance to win, in my opinion, this week. So I'm going with the Austrian in his Lederhosen. Mr. Burley, it's your turn for the international cracks, please.
I, in honor of Ted, I'm going to go mean Woo Lee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah. Why not?
Why?
I kind of, for me, it's a bit of a lucky dip, really. I don't see Victor Hovland. I don't think he's got the ball shape for it. Got the ball flight for it. Tyrrell, I don't think Tyrrell will ever win a major. I really don't.
Okay.
And I don't know enough about the other two. I mean, Sepp Straka, I like him, but I don't know enough about his game.
You kind of look the same, you and Zach.
Yeah, true. Yeah, we could be brothers. Yeah.
I guess Adi, we don't have to ask you who you will pick, but have a
no. Of course, the guy from Norway.
Yeah, of course,
Victor Holland.
Of course, why is he so attached to Oklahoma? He's like an Oklahoman living there.
Yeah,
he's a.
I mean, he's a little bit like John Rahm. He's getting like, he's almost American now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, whoa, 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 whoa. Oklahoma's just like Norway.
Yeah, maybe. Don't go to the exactly.
Lots of Fords.
Very cool. So Adi, you're going with Victor. I mean, he's such a good player, but very nice. And Mr. Ogren, please, you're international for the RotoFest 2020.
Out of respect for Ted, I'm not taking Minwoo or Siwoo.
Okay. I appreciate it.
There he is. Just like I took all of GBI and all of the hot Americans, he can have the Minwoo Siwoo. Of that group right there, I'm going to go with Sepp Straka.
There you go. I do remember a RotoFest or two where you guys were snatching up the Asians from one another.
Yes. I did that to spite him that year.
I remember. I think that's when he stopped coming. So we've got the picks complete. Now, as a wild card, everybody please pick two players that are not on the list. Obviously, the two big ones that are not on the list have already been mentioned, Xander Schauffele and J.J. Spawn. I suggest maybe I'll go first, that I didn't study the list, but nobody thinks that I've saved somebody that's there. I'm going to go with Xander, and I will go with somebody that's kind of a long shot, a major winner, by the name of Jason Day. I think he might have a good good tournament. David, who do you like in the wild card department?
All right, I need a ruling,
please.
If I pick the Twins, do I get a twofer?
You do. You always do.
So I'll take Nikolai and Rasmus.
The Højgaards.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, okay, so it's kind of like Minwoo Seewoo. If they were sitting in front of me, I couldn't tell you which one was which. Oh,
yeah.
But, you know, I think it's really cool they're both in the tournament.
Yeah.
I really, 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 really do. So, yeah, I'll take those two, and I'll leave. And if you're going to give me the exception clause, I'm absolutely going to take JJ to maybe double up in history. Mm-hmm. I do want to create another category.
Please.
Futures category.
Futures category.
Right. Somebody not in the field who's going to be in the field that you get to claim for 2 years from now. And so put it down on the tape.
I think
I'm taking Sudarshan Yelimaraju.
Oh, I forgot about him. Yeah.
Only because it's a cool name. No, he's really playing good. Holy cow. He's like top 30 in the FedEx Cup.
Yep.
And he's never taken a lesson. He's from Canada. He's an internet learned.
He's an Indian guy, right?
Well, he got the name. Yeah. I mean, so is Akshay, and so is. I don't know. Who else we got? Right.
Interesting that's very. I like that category. I like that.
Yeah. The futures category. Looking ahead, not to 2027. 2028. Yeah. Why not 2027? Because if he gets in 2027, he'll be in the rookies category.
Yeah.
But my first pick for 2028 is Yelimaraju.
Yeah, I would go with Matti Schmidt, of course.
There you go. See, that's what I mean. Yeah. And then Nadi can take the kid from LSU.
Yeah, the guy from LSU.
The umlauts. No.
And Stewart can take, I don't know, there must be some.
Well, I don't know. To be honest, Frank, I that's a long wait for a payoff. I can't even remember what I ate for dinner last night. I'm going to remember we were voting for 2 years ago. But yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah, but it's a good one.
It is a good one.
Interesting, David, that you picked JJ, I think. So he's not a one major wonder. He's really got the goods, in your opinion.
Well, he has demonstrated. First of all, he's won on Oakmont and TPC San Antonio, which are two of the hardest golf courses I've ever played.
Hmm.
And he does nothing spectacular, everything well. He does nothing poorly, everything well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's now got the confidence to, if he gets the chance, to finish the deal.
Hmm.
Right. So, and that would be what is the very poor but very old wisdom is the tournament doesn't start until the back nine.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And so I think if JJ Spawn is within three coming down to the last nine holes, he's got the kind of skills to pull it off. Hang on a second. Hey, get Oliver out here.
So you would bet that JJ Spawn shoots a better back nine on Sunday than Ludvig Åberg?
Yes, definitely.
I would take that bet.
Yeah, me too.
And I got a Golf Show All-Star here in Oliver Betschart.
Huh?
How's it going, guys?
Ollie! What are you doing there?
Training with Coach.
There you go. Wow. Why didn't you join us? Who do you like? Come on, give us your quick picks. You got to pick one from each category. Top five betting favorites. Pick one of those five.
You don't get to think.
Bryson.
Bryson. Pick one former champ.
We will take Hideki.
Very good. One from GBNI. The cool glasses, dude. Who?
Justin Rose.
Rosie. One rookie.
We're gonna take Sammy Villamaki.
Yes. One hot American.
I like Cameron Young.
And one international crack.
We're gonna go with Victor Hovland.
There you go. And then you got two wild cards. Anybody that's not on the list, Xander, JJ Spawn, Højgaards, whatever you want.
Scotty. CLS. Take Scotty.
He was on the top.
Gosh. So many good players out there.
We'll let you think about it for a minute because we still need Adi's two wild cards. And this is Oliver Betschart, by the way, the kid from Bermuda. Youngest guy to play in a PGA Tour event.
I'll pick him for 2 years' time.
With David carrying the bag.
No, that was terrible.
Adi, let's have
use a trolley next time. Yeah. I have, of course, there are two names on my list, but now since the Højgaards comes in doubles, I really would like them to be, because I had Rasmus on it, but.
I think you have to ask David's permission if you can get this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They always the come in doubles.
It's a rule.
We decided that rule. So
you got the Højgaards, and you get one extra guy.
Exactly. And I'm going to pick a guy that won in a tournament when we were sitting and drinking a lot of beer, Tom McKinnon.
Who?
Won the European Open in Green Eagle. Tom?
What's his name? Oh, McKibben.
Yeah. The Irish guy.
Yeah.
Ooh, good pick.
He's on the LIV Tour, right?
Yeah, he is.
I remember.
He
is, but we didn't see too much of that final round, did we?
No, we were doing something else.
That was a good time. Mr. Burley.
Yeah.
You're picking the Højgaards too?
No, not at all. I'm not going to be that childish. I'm going to go for JJ Spawn.
Uh-huh.
And again, JJ Spawn. I think, you know, all that nonsense talk about winning the par three and then or winning the week before. I think JJ Spawn really doesn't give a shit about any of that. I think he'll just get stuck there, and he knows he's going to win if he's got a chance. I think he's one of the toughest guys mentally you'll ever see. Yeah, I really do. And I think I'm trying to think of the other one. Reitan, Christopher Reitan,
the Norwegian guy.
Yeah, I love that guy. One of my favorite players.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? The beard?
Well, he's got the ability to just do the unexpected. I mean, last year when he was easily within a kind of a 6 week period the best player on the planet. Mm. He was shooting ridiculous scores every week. Mm-hmm. Crazy amount. He's a birdie machine.
Okay.
Really, unbelievable.
There you go. All right, Oliver, you got a little taste of what's going on here.
Perfect. Yeah, I mean, two wild cards. Let's say Ryan Fox and Sam Burns.
Whoa, see, this guy knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. See, these kids, they're like on a totally different level than we are.
Yeah.
How's it going, man? What are you doing? Are you practicing?
Well, I'm going to catch an early flight tomorrow morning back home.
Yeah, I hear your sister's doing really well.
Oh, yeah, she's doing great.
I'm reading, and I'm not hearing it. I'm reading it that she's are you still giving her shots?
Just a couple, though. I think she's won more events in our trip to Texas than I have this time around.
There you go.
Different, but
Very cool. Good to see you, my friend. Give my best to your parents.
Hello.
Oh, well, that's there. A sister.
Yeah.
Hello.
This is future all-star. Next time we got to do like the LET championship, and I'm taking her.
Absolutely.
Futures in what year are we? 2036.
2036 Anwar. Anwar.
Yes. Anwar. We got to do an Anwar draft.
That might be it.
Show our ignorance.
There you go. All right, gentlemen. We have picked the RotoFest 2020. We'll enjoy watching it following it on TV. Glad you're in it, Oliver. I'm going to put you right up there and see what this week brings. Anybody check the weather? Is it going to be wet, dry?
Yes, I did check the weather. The weather looked really good.
There you go.
Yeah, that's good.
Well,
that's good to know. It'll be the first golf tournament I watch this year on television. So I'm very excited. If the wife lets me, of course. We'll see about that. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Frank.
One and all. Have a great rest of the day in Texas, in Reykjavik, and in Utrecht.
Yeah.
Are you in Utrecht?
Yeah, I'm in Utrecht, yeah.
There you go. And in Bermuda. Ladies and gentlemen, that was it. Thank you very much for joining in, and we will see you next time.
Cheers, Frank.
Hey,
Frank. Hey.